Log Talk Radio. Smoke News Radio Podcast. Welcome to Smoke News Radio 2020 with your host, Jason Brodsky.
Hello, thank you. You've tuned in to Smoke News Radio 2021, as it is, as we're constantly updating everything here in Central Studio. Smoke News Radio, episode 75. Let's continue on. Well, we have your host, Jason Brodsky, and from MJBizDaily.com, Senate Leader Schumer pushing federal marijuana legalization as priority. The United Senate Majority Leader, Chuck Schumer, said he's putting together a new federal marijuana legalization bill that would allow states freedom to do whatever they'd like and put tax revenues into minority communities most harmed by prohibition. A New York Democrat who filed a marijuana descheduling bill in 2018, Schumer said his latest efforts draw from a number of reform bills. He reportedly is working with both Democratic senators and some Republicans. He talked about the approach to decriminalizing marijuana in an interview on Instagram Thursday with former National Basketball Association basketball player Al Harrington, who is CEO of Los Angeles-based company Viola Brands. In addition to provisions to help minority communities, Schumer indicated that he wants an industry that isn't taken over by corporations. He says, "I don't want to see these big tobacco companies coming in and shoving everyone out." Democrats recently took control of both chambers of Congress as well as the presidency, likely providing the best opportunity yet for federal marijuana reform. In a research note, Friday, St. Louis-based investment banking firm Stifel characterized Schumer's leadership on the issue and the Democratic trifecta as a Goldilocks scenario for the American marijuana sector. The development, Stifel said, quote, could foreshadow the most important industry catalyst in the history of the United States cannabis industry, end quote, while noting significant obstacles could yet come. Quoted, "We believe Senator Schumer's comments outline a bill that resembles the States Act, but includes social justice provisions and could address obstacles such as the erroneous Section 280 tax provision to have a significant positive impact on cannabis operators, regulatory environment," the Stifel analyst Andrew Parthenew wrote. Schumer appears to be trying to strike a balance between the social justice-focused marijuana opportunity reinvestment and expungement act, also known as the MORE Act, favored by progressives and embraced by the United States House in December, and a STATES approach, which might be more palatable in the conservative Senate. In the Instagram interview, Harrington urged Schumer to include other stakeholders, such as minorities, in the discussions and negotiations. Thank you. Next on Smoke News Radio, from Investopedia.com, the States Act definition, written by Daniel Liberto. Here we go. What is the STATES Act? The Strengthening the 10th Amendment Through Entrusting States, States Act, was a bill introduced in June 2018 by Senators Elizabeth Warren and Cory Gardner to ensure that every individual state is free to make its own determination about the best legal approach to marijuana within its borders. Specifically, the STATES Act amended the Controlled Substances Act of 1970 in order to protect individuals and businesses acting in compliance with state regulations regarding cannabis from federal enforcement. The original bill garnered some support but was not enacted after being defeated on a voice vote. The key takeaways: this STATES Act was a bill introduced in June 2018 to ensure every individual state is free to decide the best legal approach to marijuana within its borders. Under federal law, it is a felony to produce, distribute, or use marijuana, or even though plenty of states permit the substance for medical or even recreational purposes. The STATES Act did not pledge to legalize cannabis on a federal level, aiming instead to protect individuals and companies acting in compliance with either state or tribal laws. The original bill garnered some support but was not enacted after being defeated on a voice vote. Understanding the States Act. The debate about whether cannabis should be legalized has been an active one, dating back decades. Its legal status has also been the source of much confusion, particularly in recent years. Marijuana is a Schedule I drug the Federal CSA it classifies as having a high potential for abuse and being just as dangerous as heroin, lysergic dimethyl acid, or cocaine. In other words, it is strictly illegal to produce, distribute, or use the substance. Local laws, meanwhile, are generally much more lenient. A total of 35 states and the District of Columbia legalized the substance to some degree medically and or recreational purposes as of November 2020. The different paths adopted are The different paths adopted by individual states and federal law has understandably become a contentious issue. Companies that sell or provide marijuana-related products can be permitted to do so in the state in which they operate, yet still find themselves at risk of federal prosecution. The STATES Act was designed to address this puzzling conundrum, amending the CSA so that state-compliant cannabis businesses are no longer in violation of federal law. Now, the origins of the STATES Act. The Justice Department issued guidance during the Obama administration to encourage prosecutors to take a light approach towards federal marijuana law enforcement in states where cannabis is legal. This guidance attempted to bridge the legal gap between states that have moved to legalize the substance via legalization or citizen initiative and continued non-legal status of various marijuana-related substances on a federal level. The attempt at a compromise was upended in January 2018 by Jeff Sessions, the then Attorney General's move to rescind earlier guidelines placed businesses and individuals operated in the cannabis industry within states' legal frameworks at risk of federal prosecution. Sessions' controversial move paved the way for the STATES Act to be introduced. The STATES Act method. The act did not move to legalize cannabis on a federal level. Rather, it recognized that dozens of individual states have passed separate legislation to decriminalize and or legalize the substance to varying degrees. The bill, designed as a bipartisan effort, amended the CSA so that the provisions of the act do not apply to persons acting in compliance with either state or tribal laws related to the manufacturing, production, possession, administration, or delivery of marijuana. The act maintained several aspects of the CSA, including a prohibition on the employment of persons under age 18 in cannabis operations and the sale of marijuana to those under age 21 except for medical purposes. The bill also went beyond recognizing just those states which have moved to legalize cannabis. It also extended protections to Washington, D.C., United States territories, and federally recognized tribes that have done or may do the same in the future, with the special considerations to become law. A bill must pass by both the House and Senate and then be signed by the President. The STATES Act has so far failed to overcome those hurdles. After Senator Warren introduced the bill in the United States Senate, it was referred to the Senate Judiciary Committee for further consideration. Senator Gardner later made an effort to attach the bill as an amendment to the First Step Act, a criminal justice reform bill, during debates in December of 2018. While the 115th Congress was in lame duck sessions, however, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell blocked this effort through a procedural maneuver. Now, the other proposals. A failure to enact the original STATES Act bill does not necessarily mean that the current conflicting legal ruling on marijuana is here to stay. However, in November 2019, the House Judiciary Committee voted in favor of passing the Marijuana Opportunity Reinvestment and Expungement Act to decriminalize marijuana at the federal level. The House Judiciary Committee passed the MORE Act in a 24-10 vote, marking the first time in history that a congressional committee approved a bill to end federal marijuana prohibition. This act demonstrated that a handful of government officials continue to fight to protect state laws and assert greater legal clarity on marijuana use. All right. Thank you. You're listening to Smoke News Radio. Now let's look at the first page of the state act right here from warren.senate.gov. It's a little jumbled together, but it's their one pager, read to you by Jason Brodsky, Smoke News Radio. The States Act, Senator Elizabeth Warren and Senator Cory Gardner. Background. Today, 46 states have laws permitting ordered criminalization marijuana or marijuana-based products. Washington, D.C., Puerto Rico, Guam, and a number of tribes have similar laws. As states began developing their own
sometimes cut and paste doesn't work. The carriage return didn't come through on this.
However, this guidance was withdrawn in 2018, causing legal uncertainty that several limits these states' laboratories of democracy, creates public health and safety issues, and undermines the state regulatory regimens. As more states, territories, and tribes thoughtfully consider updates to marijuana regulations,
often through voter-initiated referendum, it is critical that Congress take immediate steps to safeguard their right to do so. Purpose. The strengthening the 10th Amendment through entrusting states, STATES Act, ensures that each state has the right to determine for itself the best approach to marijuana within its borders. The bill also extends these protections to Washington, D.C., United States territories, and federally recognized tribes, and contains common sense guardrails to ensure that states, territories, and tribes regulating marijuana do so in a manner that is safe and respectful of the impacts on their neighbors. What the bill does, amends the Controlled Substances Act, the CSA, Section 21 USC and 801 ETSEQ, something, so that as long as the state's tribes comply with a few basic protections, its provisions no longer apply to any person acting in compliance with state or tribal laws relating to the manufacture, production, possession, distribution, dispensation, administration, or delivery of marijuana, and amends the definition of marijuana with an H under the Controlled Substances Act to exclude industrial hemp as defined in Section 7606B of the Agricultural Act of 2014. The bill does not alter Section 417 prohibiting on endangering human life while manufacturing a controlled substance, and maintains the prohibition 1. Employing persons under age 18 in marijuana operations, 2. Federal requirements with which states, territories, and tribes must continue to comply. The bill prohibits the distribution of marijuana at transportation safety facilities such as rest areas and truck stops. The bill does not allow for the distribution or sale of marijuana to persons under the age of 21, other than for medical purposes, to address financial issues caused by federal prohibition. The bill clearly states that compliant transactions are not trafficking and do not result in proceeds of an unlawful transaction. All right. Let's keep rolling with it, people. Let's see what's going on here with at thefool.com. 14 states where marijuana remains entirely illegal. Written by Sean Williams. Since 2021 began, perhaps no industry has created more buzz than cannabis. It's certainly not hard to understand why, with some estimates suggesting that annual United States pot sales could triple between 2019 and 2025 to more than 41 billion United States clams, dollars, or shmolians, your choice. In the November election, 36 states would wave the green flag on medical marijuana, 15 of which also allow for the consumption and or retail sale of adult use weed. You could rightly say that the United States is going green at an extraordinarily fast pace. But even with an all-time record, 68% of respondents in Gallup's annual survey favoring nationwide legalization of cannabis, more than a dozen states have registered these calls to legalize pot. In alphabetical order, the states where marijuana remains entirely illegal are, don't get caught smoking in Alabama. Don't be smoking in Georgia. Don't be toking it in Idaho. Rolling up a fatty, don't be doing it in Indiana. Don't be growing big fields of green in Iowa. Look out smoking the reefer in Kansas. Kentucky will kick you for smoking the chronic. Nugs not in Nebraska and North Carolina or South Carolina. East, West, be careful. Tennessee, you know, they catch you smoking the big bongs. You get in trouble. Texas, they're like, what do you think's going through your head, skull person? Man, you ain't smoking weed in Wisconsin, either Wyoming. Come on, what you thinking? It's illegal. Know those. Alabama, Georgia, Idaho, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Kentucky, Nebraska, North Carolina, South Carolina, Tennessee, Texas, Wisconsin, Wyoming. And some of those, like they did the recount in Georgia and suddenly marijuana is legal. So, oh man, and Texas had some headway. So, okay, Gallup's annual cannabis survey shows that support for legalization is far-reaching. All household income levels, all attained levels of education, all genders, and all age groups are in favor of legalization. Individuals who identify as Republican are the holdouts. 85% are Democrats, and 72% of independents want to see marijuana legalized nationally, compared to only 48% of Republicans. These 14 states either controlled have Republican leadership or have often leaned red in past elections. Furthermore, only 3 of these 14 states, Idaho, Nebraska, and Wyoming, use the initiative and referendum process. This means state residents have the option of introducing a ballot measure, collecting signatures, and potentially having the measure put to the vote in a general election. The other 11 states rely wholly on the respective GOP-led legislatures to enact change on the cannabis front. Will the new administration in Washington shake things up in the remaining holdout states? Marijuana stocks have been in an all-out rally mode since the year began. Okay. There we go. Oh, nice. Okay, cool. And that's the next article right here. Sweet. Okay. Will the new administration in Washington shake things up in the remaining holdout states? Marijuana stocks have been in an all-out rally mode since the year began. President Joe Biden took office last week, and both Democratic Party candidates from Georgia won their respective Senate runoff elections on January 5th. This gives Democrats narrow control of the legislative branch of the federal government. On paper, this makes the prospect of federal legalization far more likely if Republicans had held on to their slim majority in the Senate. What's especially noteworthy about this shift is that Republican Mitch McConnell is no longer Senate Majority Leader. McConnell strongly opposes cannabis legalization measures and has almost universally blocked bills or riders containing marijuana legislation from reaching the Senate floor for a vote. The new Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer, a Democrat, is far more likely to allow cannabis legislation to at least reach the Senate floor for a vote. Still, this doesn't guarantee that we're going to see major changes in the cannabis policy at the federal level. Washington lawmakers aren't certain to vote along party lines. More importantly, President Biden hasn't offered support for full-fledged legalization, while on the campaign trail, Biden advocated for decriminalizing and rescheduling marijuana, a far cry from legalization. But if there's a green light at the end of the tunnel, it's reserved for marijuana stock investors. At this point, cannabis companies are in great shape whether the federal government takes action or not, as long as the Justice Department maintains a hands-off approach, which looks like a given under the new administration. Pot stocks will be free to operate in 36 legalized states. For example, the investing company is likely to see history made this year by Curaleaf Holdings, the largest pure-play United States cannabis stock. Following its acquisition of the popular Select brand of pot products, as well as its buyout of privately held multi-state operator Grassroots, Curaleaf is on the $1 billion for Curaleaf. Grassroots. Okay. All right, there's all the... Here's the news. It's not the everybody... What money you make in news. So let's... Entertainment. Modified. Last week. Yay. Sometimes I don't always get to the articles. So it's like, get to the ones I didn't get to. Fantastic. Thank you for listening so much. You've got Smoke News Radio on the line. And here we go. This is from thegreenentrepreneur.com. What the best hemp manufacturers have learned from the wine industry. Written by Harvey Craig. Three important lessons from today's top craft CBD makers. Any experienced wine aficionado can tell you with one sip the geographic area where the grapes used to create a wine were grown. Wine inherits characteristics from the soil where its grapes were grown, the climate of the site that produced it, and the practices of the winemaker. The educated palate can detect subtle nuances, fragrant notes, or distinguishing flavors that serve as undeniable proof of a wine's region of origin. In the United States, we call these regions American viticultural areas. There are currently 252 viticultural areas in 33 states across the country. As grape cultivation and winemaking increases over the United States over the past 50 years, smaller wineries began producing more wines from locally grown varietals. Today, there are wineries in all 50 states, and more parts of the country are developing their own wine countries. What makes what was once considered a solely New York State or California industry has expanded to include Oregon, Washington, Texas, and Colorado. Colorado now touts more than 130 licensed wineries and nearly 1,000 acres of vineyards, producing more than 150,000 cases of wine a year. Although the burgeoning hemp and CBD industry in the United States has not yet reached this level of sophistication, there is every indication it is evolving in that direction, and there is an excellent reason. The similarities between the two crops and their resulting products are many. Winemakers choose the genetics and agricultural regions for their desired characteristics, just as the Willamette Valley in Oregon has the ideal microclimate for flavors and other features of a Pinot Noir. The high Rockies of Colorado are ideal for creating some of the finest terpene profiles in the cannabis or the hemp plant. For both wine and hemp, small batch producers make the most desired and high quality products on the market. While CBD available at any roadside gas station or convenience store may become commonplace, true connoisseurs of craft products crave uniqueness and attention to quality, and these consumers are actively searching for and finding small batch products that exceed their previous expectations of CBD. Here's how the craft CBD producers are meeting this demand. Smart CBD companies have recognized this quality. Products begin with quality hemp. This means being farmers first and applying meticulous agriculture standards to hemp cultivation to produce consistent, high-quality CBD. When it comes to farming, giving each plant consistent attention from the grower creates the best outcomes. Large-scale grows cannot provide plants with this personal touch. Also, smaller farms focused on quality can engage organic agriculture and responsible water use practices to cultivate each hemp plant carefully, to reduce processing to ensure consistency. When it comes to consistency, both wine and CBD products will vary from one batch or harvest to the next, many large-scale producers attempt to create artificial consistency between batches through high levels of processing with the grape's juices or the oils from the hemp flower. However, vintners and CBD producers that focus on high-quality crops can maintain varying consistency parameters by blending grapes or hemp oils with multiple genetics or separate harvests. This requires minimal processing and allows CBD producers to take advantage of the full entourage effect in creating products that behold all of the goodness Mother Nature has to offer. Why would one strive to grow the highest quality plants, wish to degrade that quality through high processing levels? Because the CBD industry is so young, hemp agriculture and CBD manufacturing are in a Wild West stage. Just as wine producers practice quality winemaking practices, responsible CBD producers utilize quality practices, quality extraction processes, and meticulously managed facilities to create the highest quality products. The extraction process used and any potential contamination from the facility used in extraction can significantly impact product quality. There are various approaches to the extraction process that creates vastly different outcomes and affect the product's potency and overall quality. As more and more consumers come to appreciate these craft products, the day may not be far off when avid CBD customers discuss the finer points of a product, its agricultural origin, the region's attributes, and where it is produced, just as wine enthusiasts do today. In the coming years, the CBD industry has an opportunity to capture the imagination of this growing craft-focused market. Thank you. You're listening to Smoke News Radio with your host, Jason Brodsky. Here we go. From thecapitalpress.com, the Department of Drug, the DEA, seeks dismissal of hemp lawsuit. The Drug Enforcement Agency is asking a federal judge to dismiss a lawsuit that accuses the agency of exceeding its authority with new regulations on hemp products. The DEA claims the Hemp Industries Association, the HIA, complaint follows the wrong procedural path for challenging the regulations, which may limit the amount of psychoactive THC in hemp extracts. The agency recently scored a legal victory in the case after United States District Judge James Boasberg refused to order the Drug Enforcement Agency to clarify the meanings of the rules, which the hemp industry argues have threatened its survival. Hemp stopped being regulated as a controlled substance under the 2018 Farm Bill, while marijuana, the mind-altering form of cannabis, remains illegal under federal law. Cannabis must contain less than point. Hemp cannabis must contain less than 0.3% THC to be considered hemp. But the Drug Enforcement Agency has also applied that threshold to concentrated substances derived from the crop. The Hemp Industries Association argues that extracting cannabinol or CBD from hemp necessarily results in interim substances with more than 0.3 THC tetrahydrocannabinol, though they're ultimately dilute below that threshold in consumer products. In recent years, CBD extracts have become a major reason that farmers have planted the crop, as they're touted for having anti-inflammatory benefits and other healthful properties. According to the Hemp Industries Association, the DEA's regulations would criminalize CBD extracts during the manufacturing process, which would, quote, effectively destroy the burgeoning hemp industry. The lawsuit claims that the Department of Drug Enforcement lacks the authority to regulate intermediate hemp materials this way under the CSA Controlled Substance Act and the 2018 Farm Bill. In a court filing, however, the Hemp Industries Association requested that the Drug Enforcement Agency fully explain the scope of the regulations, which would, quote, guide whether plaintiffs should file for a preliminary injunction or instead dismiss this case for lack of a case or controversy, end quote. The Hemp Association argued that the Drug Enforcement Agency had made, quote, unclear statements and heightened confusion about the impacts of the regulations of intermediate hemp products, despite opportunities to clarify its intentions. For that reason, the plaintiff asked for a court order requiring the agency to explain exactly how the rules would apply to such hemp concentrates, which could have rendered the lawsuit moot. The judge recently denied the motion because such expedited discovery would be inappropriate under administrative procedures for enacting federal policy. If the plaintiff's maneuver were allowed, and anybody could use the same approach to force the agency to develop a policy position and support it with legal arguments, the judge said, that would be a problematic loophole. The Drug Enforcement Agency has now asked the judge to throw out the case entirely because the proper venue for challenging the regulations is before the United States Court of Appeals for the D.C. Circuit. The Hemp Industries Association has also filed a petition for that appellate court to review the Drug Enforcement Agency's regulations, but claims that legal act serves a different purpose. The petition for review aims to overturn the regulations, while its lawsuit seeks an injunction and declaratory relief that hemp processors cannot be held criminally liable for generating intermediate substances, the plaintiff said. All right. Smoke News Radio. That was basically about that. During the CBD processing concentrate, you end up with higher percentages of THC. Then they're like, wow, that's, you know, as you concentrate it, what do you think is going to happen? So here we go. From KFYR TV Action Karate 2021 News, written by Sasha Strong. House bill impact on hemp regulations in North Dakota. Bismarck, North Dakota. Some changes could be coming to how North Dakota regulates hemp. The law requires the state to sample and test hemp products. Under House Bill 1045, the state will now be able to charge a fee for that testing. The bill will also allow North Dakota labs to be considered for the procurement process instead of those samples being shipped to the lowest bidder in the country. Agricultural Commissioner Doug Koering said the changes are more in line with what the federal law states. Federal law supersedes state law anyway. It's easier just to make a reference to federal law, so this bill does that. Once the bill is passed by both House and Senate and signed by the governor, it is eligible to go into effect immediately. All right, you guys listen to Smoke News Radio. Let's see what we got rolling down the fun tonight. Hope you guys are loving everything. Dun, dun, dun. I mean, I gotta go for like the 3-minute one. And then the USDA. Okay. I'll just do the beginning of this one from the U.S. Department of Agriculture. From Hemp Industry Daily, the USDA hemp rule. The USDA gives hemp farmers breathing room on THC testing, but retains DEA requirement. Hemp producers will have more breathing room under newly released rules on the federally mandated THC levels before they are declared criminally negligent, with the marginal error increasing from a total of 0.5% to 1% THC. Hemp farmers and testing agents will also have more time to harvest plants after testing, with the harvest window increasing from 15 days to 30 calendar days. All right, I read this one. You guys are listening to Smoke Rules Radio. Is another one that comes out of this face. But that's all opinion. This is just as much news as I could find. And sometimes I'm able to get just enough to fill the complete hour. Dun, 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 dun. Then Smoke Rules Radio is filled 2 hours with just whatever blarb, you know. Oh, cool, cool, cool. And then so this is very, I'm not saying news is factual, but like basically, like, you know, this is the closest we got to what people say is fact these days. Oh, somebody wrote it and they quoted facts. People want to choose whatever news you want to see. So I'll try to find as much right things that are going on out there and get them to you. Because the news, it does, it's been its own version of opinion. And I think you can have your own opinion on the news, of the news, if that's possible. Because they sure have opinions of whatever they want to put up there. You know, go put on your sweatered gloves and look at people hanging on the walls. See, that's why. Okay, so that's why it's so much easier to talk about hemp stuff, is that there's so many other things. Hope you guys are having a beautiful, beautiful night. There's a lot of funky news out there. You know, people sing about stuff, and just be careful where you are. Be safe. Keep your head up, even though you might be angry at some things. You know, just find ways to be happy in the world and just keep going and trying to spread your toxicity on others. Just, you know, let them know if sometimes you feel toxic. You need to wash all, keep cleansing your soul. Cleansing your soul is a lifelong thing. Thank you guys for listening so much. Smoke News Radio, Jason Brodsky, your host. And here's the news from Jack Johnson.
A billion people died on the news tonight, but not so many cried at the devil's sight. Well, mama said, it's just make-believe. You can't believe everything you see. So baby, close your eyes to the lullaby on the news tonight. Who's the one to decide that it would be alright to put the music behind the news tonight? Well, mama said, you can't believe everything you hear. The diegetic world is so unclear. So baby, close your ears on the news tonight, on the news tonight. The unobtrusive tones on the news tonight. The mama said,
90 seconds.
Why don't the newscasters cry when they read about people who die? At least they could be decent enough to put just a tear in their eye. But mama says, it's just make-believe. You can't believe everything you see. So baby,
60 seconds.
To the lullaby. On the news tonight.
Thank you. Have a beautiful night. Smoke News Radio. I love you.
Thank you for using Blog Talk Radio. Goodbye.